So this is case 245 from the record of Zen Master Yun Men. Once the master cited a manifold who had said, "Each and every person has a radiant light. Yet, when it is looked at, it is not seen, dark and obscure. What about that radiant light?" On behalf of the silent audience, he said, "The kitchen pantry, the main gate." He added, "I will rather have nothing." Dear friends, please sit comfortably. Good afternoon, everyone.
Are we muted?
Pardon?
Are we muted?
Are we
muted?
Oh.
So with very slight variations that I think are not significant, and probably mostly out of different translations. This is also case 86 from the Blue Cliff record. We can read in the record of Yun Men that a boy born in 864 of our common era, with extraordinary powers of memory and intelligence within the Chang family, who was able to learn poems and entire Buddhist scriptures by heart after a single reading, decided to take the path of monkhood upon reaching adolescence, and was known by his Dharma name of Wen Yan. It is said that he became highly proficient in the voluminous monastic rule literature, the Vinaya, under his first teacher, Shi Sheng. Many years later, he would establish a monastery at the foot of Mount Gate of the Clouds, which in Chinese is Yunmen, thus receiving his famous teaching name of Master Yunmen. Wen Yan took the monastic precepts at the usual age of 20. And at some point, still in his 20s, he set out to visit Master Mu Shou, who was well known for his reclusiveness and his abrupt manner. The teacher's room was usually shut and completely empty. And when he occasionally did receive people, he allowed no deliberations. That's what the record says. When Yun Men could finally roll in and out, he went straight to Mu Shao's door and knocked. Master Mu Shao asked, "Who is it?" Yun Men said, "It is me, Wen Yan." Mu Shao blocked the entrance and said, "Why do you keep coming?" Yun Men replied, "I am not clear about myself." Mu Shao said, "Absolutely useless stuff." Then pushed Yun Men out and shut the door. In this way, Yun Men attained understanding. This is Yun Men's awakening story. as it comes in the oldest records. I have read several later versions of this same story with some more additions, like the one that places this particular visit after many unsuccessful ones, in which Yun Men gets only a door shot at his nose when Mu Shou sees him coming. When a count says that in this last visit, finally Yun Men was able to stick his leg to prevent the door from closing and speak the urgent matter to his teacher, who confronted him by saying, "Why do you keep coming?" And this particular story ends with Mu Shou slamming the door on Yun Men's leg, breaking it, along with all his doubts and all his certainties too. This story makes much more sense, wouldn't you say? We can find in it many more elements that clarify and expand our understanding and feelings of the case. It makes it more palatable. We can feel Yun Men's sweat, tears, blood, and broken bones, and also the roughness of his teacher. But Zen practice is not about understanding, at least not of this sort of understanding. Understanding is absolutely useless stuff, but we usually insist on the tendencies of our heads to find meaning, purpose, reasons. Why do you keep coming? It's a great question for our lives in general, to help us see through understanding. How would you reply to your teacher if she sees you coming to a group sitting, a Senkai or Seishin, and asks you, "Why do you keep coming?" How would you reply to a friend or a family member that you are visiting and asks you, "Why do you keep coming?" How do you present yourself honestly? Despite the scolding he received, we probably cannot say that Yong Wenyan's response, "I am not clear about myself," was a too terrible response, for he was honest with himself and honest with his teacher, and was ready to turn about, looking in the direction his teacher would point to. Absolutely useless stuff was the appointed direction, completely opposite from his intent to shed light on the matter. Here might be another way of expressing Mu Shou's admonition on Wendell Berry's "To Know the Dark." To go in the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark, go dark. Go without sight. And find that the dark too blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings. Indeed, it is useless to know the dark by shedding a light on it. This is equivalent to looking for the lost golden ring under a street light outside, rather than inside in the darkness of the house where it was lost, just because there is more light out there. As in the famous story of the Mullah Nasruddin. With his teacher's admonition, Yun Men's last candle was blown out and was left with himself in complete darkness. And suddenly he found that the dark too blooms and sings. Each and every person has the radiant light. We probably don't need a commentary for this phrase, do we? Each and every person has Buddha nature. All beings by nature are Buddha. But if we are left with this understanding, however, we are just moving around the infinitesimally small circle of the light of our of the light our intellects shed. To prevent this, Yun Men turns off the light and says, "Yet, when it is looked at, it is not seen, dark and obscure." What about that radiant light? Right now, try to keep a step using your dark feet. At night, all cats are gray, as a Mexican saying goes. In the dark, there is no coming and going, no marks of distinction, and also no place to take a step from a 100-foot pole. In another occasion, maybe before the present case, as it is case 143 from the record, Yun Men brought the same subject with his students. Having entered the Dharma hall for a formal instruction, the master said, "Every person originally has the radiant light. Yet when it is looked at, it is not seen, dark and obscure." With this, the master left the teacher's seat. No doubt, Yun Men left his students in complete darkness this time. What do you make of his leaving the teacher's seat after his words? Was he simply letting them contemplate the matter by themselves? Was leaving the teacher's seat a self-response to his previous statement? In the present case, Yun Men took pity of the young fellows surrounding him and pointed to the light within the darkness by saying in behalf of them, "The kitchen pantry, the main gate." I wonder, does this presentation match your own response? Do you see the kitchen pantry and the main gate as a source of the radiant light that emanates from all the many beings? Please be careful. The way to address these questions is not to shed light over the kitchen pantry and the main gate, like a detective looking for a clue of a murder. In his famous work, The Coincidence of Opposites, Master Shitao Shishuen said, "In the very midst of light, there is darkness. Don't meet another in the darkness. In the very midst of darkness, there is light. Don't observe another in the light." Light and darkness complement each other, like stepping forward and stepping back. In the very midst of darkness, there is light. Don't observe another in the light. It would have been a pity if Yun Men hadn't echoed this admonition by adding, "I would rather have nothing." Another translation renders his words as, "It would be better to have nothing than to have something good." Again, a more comprehensive and perhaps pedagogic render of his words, isn't it? But in any case, if it was not for these very last words of Yun Men, schools would appear in every field. And I am intentionally borrowing this expression from Yin King in case 23 from the Blue Cliff Record, which says, "As Bao Fu and Chan King wandered in the mountains one day, Bao Fu raised his hand and pointed, saying, 'Right here is the summit of the Peak of Wonder.' 'Indeed it is,' said Chan King. 'What a pity.'" Later, someone told Yin King about this exchange, and Yin King said, "If it weren't for Master Chan King, schools would appear in every field." I would rather have nothing is Yun Men's way of declaring himself in complete poverty. Of course, this is not the poverty that a big number of beings suffer in this world that manifests as famine, shortage, dearth. Rather, this is the poverty that becomes a blessing coming down from the Buddha through generation after generation of our ancestors to us right here now. This is the poverty that Master Jingyuan Longqi cannot help but bless it with all his heart for the great fortune of having it come down to him. In the following poem, "You can't light a lamp. There's no oil in the house. It is a shame to want a light. I have a way to bless this poverty. Just feel your way along the wall." This is a beautiful instruction on how to live a life in practice. Uncertainty, our greatest poverty, the fundamental quality of our lives that we all, to a greater or lesser extent, wish to eradicate to no avail, can become indeed the gateway to a life of intimacy and wonder. And we only need to turn about. We turn about and find that the dark too blooms and sings. It sings at times with a joyful voice, at others with a melancholic one. At times it sings with a serene voice, at others with a wrathful one, a sad one. And this is how we all make our way through life, groping along the wall, trusting that what comes next is the perfect opportunity for us to wake up. Thank you.